putting no boogie in nobody's butt. That's nasty, man. What you talking about, putting boogies in people's butt? You out your mind or something? You go to jail for doing something like that. Well, step aside, my friend. I've been doing it for years. I say sit on down, open your eyes and open up your ears. Say put a tree in your butt, put a bubble bee in your butt, put a clock in your butt, put a big rock in your butt. I say put some fleas in your butt. I say stop to sneeze in your butt. I say put a tin can in your butt, or put a little tiny man in your butt. I say put a light in your butt. I say make it bright in your butt. I say put a TV in your butt. I say put me in your butt. You're about to say
hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Girls, One Beard, starring Eddie Cruz, Marlene Melby, and Bianca Carrasco, bringing you those smooth jams.
Oh, Jesus.
It's so sensual.
I know. I'm going to, guys, just
I
say
got
no.
Sweaty.
I'm going to listen to this first before anybody else does. All right,
guys. So how was everyone's day? How was everyone's week?
My week was good. My day was horrible.
Oh,
fucking horrible.
God.
Fucking horrible.
Why was your day so horrible?
No, you guys first. How was your day, Marlene?
Oh, that mine's going to sound boring. It was fine.
It was fine.
Did you work?
I just worked. That's all I do. I just work. Man, and then I end up here. Sometimes.
I cut like 70,000 limes for work today.
I was prepping.
But I got shit-faced. Yesterday was Hope and Anchor's 5th anniversary. And we went hard. We went real fucking hard. Like fucking ass to the wall. Just going crazy. Going fucking hard. And
wow.
I don't know why I did ass to the wall. Yeah. So it'd be like, that way we can all
look at each other.
Yeah. Or
make eye contact.
No. It was more like you guys
inclusive.
Can't, yeah. It's inclusive to
don't tell me. Okay. Don't tell me I don't have balls at it. Yeah.
Well, you have ovaries. You should be happy
lady
about
balls.
That. Can I tell you something? Having balls sucks.
It doesn't seem like it sucks.
It sucks.
Because you sit on them or what?
No, they just... All right. As you get older, they hang lower. They're uncomfortable. They get sweaty.
Uh-huh.
They're really sweaty. And then like I ride a bicycle a lot and like my taint will start pulling my ball sack in. And then when I'm done riding, like I can't get comfortable anymore because my balls are all raw. That sucks.
Wet and raw.
That yeah, wet terrible. And raw and smelly. They smell like ass sweat. Mm. And
I feel like the female equivalent of having balls is like beef curtains.
Yep.
Beef curtains. Oh my God.
Empty ball sacks.
All right. Yeah. Empty ball sacks.
Just flapping around.
Well, I mean, essentially, I have a ball sack with a meat curtain underneath it. I don't want to let you guys know more about me than you really
no,
want
please,
to.
No, please, go on.
Let me just describe it to you. No. I don't like my balls. I wish I didn't have them. Mm. I mean, I wish I could still do everything to, you know, be a man.
Yeah, all the functional issues or like things about them are fine, but...
Mm-hmm. And they're way too big. Way too big.
Oh, God.
It's just unnecessary.
Are you saying like in general balls are too big or yours?
Mine. I don't know about other guys' balls. Like some other balls might be like.
I don't know, but these look pretty big. A little too big. The ratio of dick to balls is off.
Yeah, it's just a bad way ratio. Off. It's like two grapefruits in a plastic bag and a carrot like on top of it.
Like a baby carrot?
Yeah, no,
or
baby
like,
carrot.
Oh.
I have an average size carrot.
Okay.
It's a normal carrot. It's a lovely carrot.
All right. Yeah. Beautiful carrot.
The only reason I went with baby carrot was because you were saying that they're so disproportionately
and then
large.
The hand gesture was pretty misleading.
My friends used to call me tuna can because I used to say that my dick's not very long, but it's so girthy. It's disgusting, right? Do girls have like horrible nicknames for each other? Like, have you ever had like a girl where you're like, hey, what's up, meat curtains?
I think like, that'd be traumatizing.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and also, why would they know that?
Yeah, girls aren't as like, I don't think girls are as talkative about their genitalia? Their pussies.
Yeah. Oh, their god pussies? Damn it.
Oh my god, that hard P at the front makes it worse too.
Yeah, it just makes it terrible.
Pussies?
You gotta move the mic for that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think if anything,
pussies.
Yeah, you have to like lean into it at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think if anything, girls maybe talk about their boobs more. Yeah. But girls don't necessarily sit there comparing their badges. Like, right, that's on. Not really a thing.
Old long badge. Yes. That's what we call her.
There's long slit. Wiggle slit.
And we call that one perfect pink.
Oh, everybody perfect. Would hate her.
Yeah, I know. We all
what
hate
a bitch.
Her.
We just I hate her and I don't even know her. God damn.
Jesus Christ, her perfect life. Anyway.
she doesn't even have to shave. Anyway. She's just careless.
Let's get off.
I have alopecia just on my vagina.
That would work out.
But not like the alopecia where you look like a 12-year-old boy because it's so hairy. Like probably like a little, just like a nice little groomed area.
Like I'm an adult, god damn it. Yeah. But you don't have to work through it.
Yeah. There you go. You don't need a weed whacker.
Yeah.
I'm not going bushwhacking.
I think that that's definitely, speaking for myself, I don't like it like to be clean completely. It's, I don't know. I'm just like, does that itch? I don't know. It's
are you asking?
It's like bumps.
Oh.
Like shaving.
Well, yeah, it's razor burn.
Yeah, yeah. It's like all over it. It's like fucking all over it sometimes.
Yeah.
That seems really uncomfortable.
I mean, maybe this girl should be using some conditioner or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Some why hotter water.
Why not like fucking
I mean, shaving cream is fine, but if you don't want to spend the money on shaving cream,
it's
conditioner
true.
Works. You know, I think conditioner and hot water.
About that, and I was like, I don't shave my legs. And she's like, oh, yeah. I just use a little, the same thing I use in my beard. That was a loud laugh.
Dual beard.
Oh god,
work.
It's all in the red right there. If you're listening, I'm really sorry about my laugh. I've been apologizing for quite a while.
Moving off of our genitalia.
Yeah, yeah. Genitals aside.
Did you it's do any exciting haircuts this week? Any out of the ordinary type hairstyles?
I got a haircut.
I know, it looks great.
I know.
Yay. It looks great.
It's the first haircut I've gotten for a while. It's not true. I shaved my head on the rag. Anyway.
But no.
Do you ever get any kind of like fun hairstyles, or is it just like old ladies being like, can you just style my hair?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. You know, to be honest, I don't think any of my clients are listening to this, but because they're all like over 40. Mm. But I don't know how I have that job. Because
you're the old lady groomer?
Yes. Oh, yeah, exactly. Because I'm such an awkward person to try and make a conversation with. So, like, you know that person?
I don't think you are.
Well, a lot of the time.
Once you start talking.
That's a problem. That's the main problem. So imagine that really quiet person, like, at a party where you're like, oh, you know, they're just hanging back. But now they're, like, 3 feet in front of your face and chopping off bits of your hair. It's a little bit weird.
All right.
And then I feel like old ladies just they ramble. Yeah. If the other person's not talking.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I love that.
So they just, like, they just go. Probably. Yeah.
Is it homophobic to think that gay guys are better at cutting hair than straight guys?
You know what? It's the confidence. It is the confidence. Oh, my God. When we went to Austin, the most beautiful thing happened. We were driving like by this stop, like an intersection.
Who's we?
Sorry, Matthew and I.
Oh, okay. I forgot.
We were driving.
She and I. We went midweek.
Like Thelma and Louise.
Yeah. We were driving and we see this gay boy with his he's very like skinny with his shirt off, and it's like the middle of the night, probably 12 o'clock, and he puts his hand in front of himself to stop traffic and just struts across the street and everybody stops.
That's amazing.
I mean, it was a red light, but still,
fuck y'all, I'm walking.
And yes, and he left it up the entire time. That's it was amazing. Magical.
I was having a conversation in a bar. Actually, at Hope and Anchor, like a month ago, with my good friend Lauren and her older brother, and there was a guy at the bar who was dressed like, you know, fairly gender normative for a male, like jeans, a t-shirt, but he was wearing stilettos, and he was like, he was walking so well in those, like I could never walk as like gracefully in heels as he did, and then the topic came up of like. That takes more balls and like more like to me that like confidence
is more masculine than some dude calling him out on it. Than somebody being like...
I think that those calves that you need to work those heels.
Yeah, walking in heels is hard. Damn, dude.
I was going to do this thing, walk a mile in her shoes.
Oh, yeah.
So I was prepped to do it, and my friend Bean told me, all right, well, you have to go get shoes. And I was like, well, I wear a size fucking 14 in men's. And he's like, all right, well, they're going to be $100. And I was like, what? Like, I can't go to Payless? And he's like, think about a woman with your foot. And I was like, that's disgusting. Well, apparently, those ladies have to pay a lot for their shoes.
Yeah, you've done like specially made shoes. Like Paris Hilton, for example, has like enormous feet. She has to specially make her. I mean, she's pretty also, tall, but she has like flippers.
Meat curtains.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
Have you?
Yeah, they're on the video.
One Night in Paris.
On the video?
Yeah.
Oh, she has them. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were just jumping back into that subject.
No. Paris Hilton meat curtains. You go ahead. And I mean, I am jumping back in that. Jumping into Paris Hilton's meat.
All right. Diving Jesus. In.
Anyway, yeah. So I think, yeah.
But yeah, he was like, I...
That's pretty fucking masculine.
Yeah. Hmm. Because if you think about it, like, confidence and, like, bravery and sticking to what you believe in and not caring what anyone else thinks, those are, like, supposed to be, like, the ideals of masculinity. At least from what I've gathered. Like
football, pussy, sorry, puss. And like Steven Seagal movies. That's for me when I think of masculinity. Oh, shit.
All right.
Not my own. Uh-huh. Like I personally don't think I'm very masculine. I'm very feminine.
But like you're thinking of like Merca kind of masculinity.
Yeah, I guess
like
so.
Red blooded.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess that's for me, that goes hand in hand like that.
Mm.
I think girls have a different thing because you guys like maybe romanticize masculinity.
I think to a degree, yeah. And I think
God,
it's
that
like,
was a real big generalization on my part. Obviously,
that all inclusive statements are always like dangerous, but like, I think that's totally fair to say about women maybe in general, like very generally speaking, is that if you have a certain ideal of what you think a man is, it's an ideal.
Yeah.
So it's going to be...
It's like, well, he's a real man because he, you know, and then ... it could be like makes pancakes in the morning or takes care of his children well or like has a huge penis or, you know,
right.
Like whatever.
It like runs the gamut, but it's like a starry-eyed thing maybe when you think about
it. But
when
I think
mind.
About masculinity, I think about like...
It's more negative.
It's
like,
totally negative. Yeah. It's like all those assholes used to pick on me and now they're all fat and their wives are on Prozac. I win! Right, so whatever. I guess I didn't get picked on that much. Yeah, I did.
Thinking back on
like, yeah, I did, but it made me a better person.
You know what I was thinking of is I think bullying now is way worse because we have
the internet.
Yeah. So like when we were kids and we got bullied, like if I was on, I remember one time when I was in middle school, I got on the bus and I was very androgynous looking and the bus driver, I'd always get called a boy, like, hey, are you a boy? Are you a boy? And then so even the bus driver, grown ass man, was like, are you a boy or a girl? And I was like, I'll go sit on the girl's side.
Can I tell you something now?
Yeah.
But now it doesn't hurt because you realize that fucker was a bus driver.
Yeah. And also, but my point is, you know, after that, I was like, I'm fine with this because as soon as I step off this bus, it's fucking over.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now it's like, it's permanent forever.
Yeah.
It's
stuck. I don't know about
there.
Forever, but it's definitely another thing that people have to, like, I never thought about killing myself when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in high school, I got picked on a lot, you know, like I mean I thought about it maybe.
I did
you
if
know
we're
like,
being honest
but like maybe not in a like real like gonna go buy the pills kind of way. For me I was just like I didn't, but I think that if there was social media and that kept on going, I could see why kids go as far like kill themselves because of Facebook. It's insane.
Yeah.
And it also sucks. Can I just like, if I didn't need it as a social, like people need to listen to the podcast. How can I fucking get a hold of 1,000 people at once?
Right.
I'm not going to fucking, you know, call them all.
Send some snail mail.
Hey, by the way,
some correspondence.
I'm not going to give a flyer saying, here, you throw this away. Mitch Hedberg.
I always forget what what comedian said that joke first? Yeah.
Mitch Hedberg. Yeah. It's like saying, here, you throw this away. He, like, went to the back and did heroin until he died.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Till his leg fell off.
It was after the leg. Anyway.
Well, speaking of...
bullying?
No, of
puss.
Sorry. Of comedians and where jokes come from. We were, what was the first comedy album that either of you ever bought? Sorry to make kind of a jump, but
you mine wasn't so much an album. It was the best of Chris Farley.
Like the
SNL,
yeah,
nice.
That was a good one.
And Adam Sandler, actually, we said that as. Earlier, but yeah, for sure. That what was it? The Hanukkah one?
Were
you saying that Hanukkah CD? Song? Yeah, the CD is album.
Was it the one where it's like all like I got a snake man? That one. There was like a voice that he always did, like, "Hey man, I got a snake man."
I think so. I don't remember.
Ridiculous and horrible.
I just remember my brother playing it on repeat, like constantly.
It was probably that one.
Yeah.
And there was another one where he's like pissing and then he like pees and it stops and then it's like a fire hose. It's like, it comes back with a vengeance.
See, I like SNL set and Adam's.
Well, yeah, he still cares. Sandler. It's all the same thing. I like SNL Eddie Murphy. I like SNL Bill Murray. I like all when they're young and hungry. That's when you get
they're
comedy.
Hustling. Yeah, you can totally tell. Yeah, especially, in fact, I was reading this thing about Chris Farley. He modeled a lot of his physicality after Chevy Chase. Of course, he's like a huge
and
dude.
And Chevy Chase sucks now.
But Chevy Chase. Yeah, for sure. Chevy Chase would wear like knee pads and stuff.
Oh,
and Chris Farley didn't know that. So he would just throw his body like and just injure himself constantly.
Yeah.
And one time Chevy Chase was like, why are you doing that? He's like, oh, I didn't realize you can wear knee pads.
Yeah.
But it's that, you know, that just you feel that energy. And I was remembering as a kid, like, oh shit, I don't know what that is, but I want that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They love what they're doing.
I just, I think I just realized, like, oh, people love Chris Farley and he's fat and I'm fat. So I want to be like Chris Farley. I'm like, what does he do? Oh, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He just doesn't give a fuck. I mean, when I was a little kid and I couldn't laugh because it's so loud. And people are already making fun of me because I eat like 5,000 Oreos. Like, you got to be funny. But I wasn't funny. I don't think I was. I still don't think I'm funny. Tony tells me constantly that I'm only funny because I laugh at my own jokes.
Oh.
And I do. I really do.
I do that too.
I can't help it. I think I'm so funny. I'm so witty up here. Out there, I just think people probably see me as a drooling idiot.
No, I think you're funny.
Yeah, me too.
Let me hit this.
Okay. No. The first CD that I bought, or the first comedy album that I bought, was Dimitri Martin. What's it called? It's called This Is a CD, I think.
That's when he was like labeling everything?
Yeah. And I want to say it was his first like really big commercial album that he did. And
had his show come out yet?
No, he didn't have he didn't have the Dimitri Martin show yet. He had his like half hour on Comedy Central. He had his like special, but I really enjoyed, or I remember that was the first one I bought, because first of all, I hadn't necessarily realized that you could buy CDs of comedy. I think I was I was like in early high school when I bought it. And And his style of comedy was so different at the time from anything else that I had heard. He does a lot of like one-liners and a lot of really short things that you can kind of miss. Like if he were at a party, say, and you were having a conversation with him, I feel like he would probably throw things like that out and you either catch it or you don't. And he just moves on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And for me, that was like mind-blowing, because it was like, there's different ways to do this. Like it doesn't have to just be storytelling, or it doesn't have to just be like set formulaic jokes. It's like, here's this one liner, here's this thing that you're gonna kind of have to like, it might hit you like a couple, there's gonna be like a time delay for the laugh, and he's okay with that. Which I think is really cool also, is that he's doesn't have
what
to have that
to
immediate
he did that
laugh
movie about Woodstock and then disappeared off the place of the planet.
Yeah, I think he still does like live shows. Okay. But he just doesn't have like a television presence or like a movie presence. He does like small cameos and things, I think.
I liked him, but yeah, I think I think getting a show on Comedy Central kills your life. I think that's what, honestly, like, or like Louis C.K. did it best, which is doing two seasons and then quitting the third and being like, I'll come back to it, guys, but give me a while. Because it's still fucking good. I mean, he won a fucking Emmy for the show and everything like that. He did great. But I think that Dave Chappelle's a good example of somebody who created two fucking of the best seasons of comedy ever and then fucking totally just, you know, he didn't. I don't think he went crazy. I think that he's correct when he says that it's a very dismissive term.
Oh, did you see that? Oh,
I've seen everything. God, I love it. Like, he brought me back. Oh, that's not true. He just kept me in comedy. Like when after I was really into Bill Hicks, I loved comedy because of Bill Hicks. And then I was like, all right, well, he's dead. So what do I do now? And I was like, oh, shit, Dave Chappelle. And that was what like made me go, okay, well, I'll start listening to everybody again. But the first thing I ever got was actually Cheech and Chong. I didn't buy it. It was my dad's, and it was on vinyl. And he also had this comedy album about marijuana and about how it's perceived, I guess. I mean, it was during the time where like people were starting to experiment with drugs when my dad grew up, you know. So he obviously might have. I shouldn't be saying this, maybe. So I don't know. So yeah, he had this marijuana album. It just was ridiculous and funny, and just like made fun of like the stereotypes of like jumping out of windows and like the reefer madness and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had Cheech and Chong, and I was like fucking seven, so I didn't understand what weed would even was.
Right.
You know, but then they'd be like, I'm stuck in the refrigerator. And I'd laugh my ass off. And then, like, Cheech and Chong, I just love the songs. Like, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
like the Christmas song.
Yeah.
And then the Mexican American song.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I mean, I grew up with, I mean, a Mexican side of family. So I understood what cholos were, not because of my family, but because of growing up with other Mexican kids. So right. I understand the cholo hippie reference, which is really great and so easy. But Cheech and Chong was the first one I listened to.
Cool.
But then definitely Weird Al was definitely a huge influence.
Yeah.
Like growing up fat. You guys remember that?
Yeah. I'm well, I fat.
Michael, yeah.
Yeah.
Bad was good, but fat was
great. Yeah, let's talk about parody a little bit. I mean, we're talking about Weird Al right now, but like, what other really good iconic parody artists are there? And do you think it's an art?
Liam Neeson. the Wayans brothers. Oh, sorry.
I really love Lonely Island. It's, yeah. I mean, they respectfully parody. It's a respect for the.
What are they parodying?
They parody
hip hop.
Yeah, they parody genre. It's not like a specific.
I would argue that that's.
Or is that more like satire?
I don't know. Maybe it's not parody.
But satire and parody are very similar.
But I think the difference is like Lonely Island comes up with like Dick in the Box. There's no reference to it or anything. Or like parody seems like it has a direct reference to one thing. Whereas I think what Lonely Island does is more satire.
Yeah.
Which is just like a generalized.
It's like, it's more like genre based.
Maybe or? Like a. Commentary on the zeitgeist kind of thing,
because like Dick in a Box is a callback to like 90s R&B,
yeah
you know, like R&B pop. And then like
I don't know, it was like, is This Is Spinal Tap, is that a parody
or that's a satire?
Yeah, all right, well then Lonely Island is satire.
Oh, yeah. okay
yeah, there's satire,
because that's got to be satire, because I mean they're saying stuff directly about people too. I think sometimes you can tell like the references,
right?
Yeah. Or like Metalocalypse does it a lot with Metallica and Axl Rose. Have you guys seen Axl Rose lately?
Mm-mm.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
He's crazy looking.
He looks awful.
Yeah, I was at my parents' house.
This is worth
like a couple
showing
weeks ago?
You and just recording the reaction.
They were watching like a Guns N' Roses concert, but it, like current. So it's really just Axl Rose. It's Axl Rose will like tour with. A backup
was this
band?
Like, was this like recent? Because he's like, he has a cane now.
This was, I mean, within the last 5 years, I would say. Maybe like just before the cane. But it was like, embarrassing almost. Yeah, he's, oh, he looks.
Isn't that so sad? Does not look good. When I was a kid, like, he was like, I mean, the sexiest fucking guy in the world.
May I right. see that again?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Hold on. Let me.
He looks like Chris Farley pretending to be Axl
Rose. He really, really does.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
He has not aged well.
No.
The years have not been kind. And he was wearing like super crazy, like, gaudy things and
cornrows.
He wasn't cornrowed. He was cornrowed at the VMAs that one time.
God, Jesus Christ, man. Poor guy. I feel sad for him because he thinks he's awesome. Somebody's got to be like, hey, dude.
You know what? I really like people who are just super...
Like, these don't give a fuck? Like, they're like, yeah. Like, what's his name? Marlon Brando. Yeah. Or Orson Welles. These are like, no fucks will be given. Bring me another hamburger.
Yes, it's so I cool. I love that.
Like, I respect it and I want to get to there one day.
Mm-hmm. I love people who are just completely delusional.
Oh, I don't want to be delusional. I just.
No, one day I like I the delusion.
500 pounds.
Lean into it. Yeah. Lean into the delusion.
Yep. Use your delusions. Like parts it. One and two. Yeah, that's awesome. Anyway, that was just something disgusting about him.
But I think satire, I think, has always been my favorite kind of comedy.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things, like, its basis is like Shakespeare. You know, like, it starts centuries and centuries ago, and it's just something that, as humans, I think we've perpetuated because... If you're not laughing at the situation you're in or realizing kind of how fucked up it is, then you're just kind of stuck in it. And I think satire and comedy in general just provide such a good relief and release for it. Because mm-hmm. it's like all the El Teatro Campesino, which is like the Chicano beginnings and of like theater.
Voltaire, Candide. Mm-hmm.
Where it's like... They were.
I got a degree in that shit, but that's
where they would, like the fruit pickers and shit would like put on plays out in the field just to like try to raise awareness within their like community. Just like, okay, this shit's kind of fucked up.
Maybe
and
it's
I'm
going
to show it to you in a kind of funny way.
Yeah, maybe it's a medium that's not so. What's the word, like, abrasive?
Because it's not as aggressive, maybe.
Yeah, aggressive. Yeah. So if you're trying to. Show somebody something really awful, almost like a trauma, they want to block it out right away. Mm-hmm. But if you almost veil it with the really thin veil of comedy, or present it in a less threatening way, they're more accepting of whatever truth you're trying to tell them.
I'm gonna go full nerd and be like, hey, you guys remember in V for Vendetta, either the movie or the comic? The last TV show they allow is a very like Daily Show-esque kind of TV show.
Oh, okay.
And then eventually that guy crosses the line where they kill him, but that's just in a comic book.
That doesn't happen in the movie?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm so tired. It was a long day, guys. Did I tell you I cut thousands of limes today? It was awesome. Anyway.
You did.
But parody artists, are there any other ones we can think of? I can't think of a single one without... I mean, Weird Al kind of covers it, you know?
Yeah, I know. He is...
He's very topical, too.
He is, like, icon of it.
You got him in every fucking decade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the way back till forever.
The beginning of time.
Yeah.
He looks like he doesn't age, which is creepy.
Well, his, like, curls get looser.
For a while, I thought his hair was a wig.
He just had like a more intense perm, I think.
He can count the curls, the rings around his curls. That's how you know how old he is.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Remember UHF? Did you guys ever see that?
I saw like 20 minutes of it and I was so afraid of Kramer because he was just so intense. I always forget the actor's name.
Michael Richards.
Yeah. He's like so intense in that movie. And I feel like I was fairly young when I tried watching it because I had been watching something on VH1 about Weird Al. It was like his Behind the Music or something.
He got like the best. It's the first number one Billboard's album, like overall number one, not just in category number one.
Oh, wow.
Since like 1970 something. I think it was Eddie Murphy's, the one with Boogie in Your Butt. Have you guys ever heard that? Oh, that's our intro music today, guys.
Okay, cool.
Boogie in your butt. Put a tin man in your butt. Put a little. It's amazing. You guys are going to love this. It has changed your lives.
Oh, my God.
You're welcome.
Anyway. You'll look back on this moment and remember my face.
No. Eddie Murphy is, like, the most disappointing to me in comedy. Like, he's the most disappointing person because he was so fucking good.
Oh, yeah. Like, he was amazing.
A little homophobic, but it was, you know, it was the time. Yeah. It was the whole world was. And he's also a part of, I think, a generation that just, I mean, my favorite kids movies growing up have the word faggot in them. Like, I realized that the other day.
Like, which ones?
Monster Squad.
Really? I still have not seen that. Dude,
it's like one of my favorite movies of all time.
We have it on the zip drive, but I haven't seen it.
I had no idea. That it's basically one day Dracula comes back and brings back to life Frankenstein, the Swamp Monster, and Wolfman. And this group of kids who call themselves the Monster Squad think they're the only ones that can stop him.
Oh my gosh,
they find this Latin book.
We have to
and
see
open
I know,
a portal.
That sounds so cute.
But yeah, they say that word like 17 times. It's like their go-to like
insult,
which is, I mean, it's just, you know, so Eddie Murphy Raw and Delirious are really, is it Delirious? Jesus, I don't know. I have the memory of a fucking high person. yeah, but he really fell off. Like Pluto Nash, that was possibly the worst movie I've ever seen.
What movie?
Pluto Nash.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, they spent like $170 million. Dollars or something like that, or at least
he's
like $76 million.
Dollars, he's an astronaut or a spaceman.
Yeah,
or
is it a recent movie?
No, that was the movie
like
that
within
killed
the last
his career.
10 years,
because like it made $7 million. I don't know. I gotta look this up.
Holy
because
shit.
It's something ridiculous where you're like, what?
Wasn't it right around the time of Osmosis Jones? But actually, you know what?
That was
Jones
with
was
Bill Murray.
Yeah, but as the live action, but like the character, the actual cartoon.
Oh,
was,
never,
it might have been Chris Rock, actually. I just became the most racist person on this podcast. Like, it's one of those funny black guys.
Oh, well, now you should have yeah. figured that out. You just, like, fucking called yourself out, and now it
I
makes
know.
Sense.
I know, it's
what
because
are you going to do? No,
I'm just going to keep going.
We're
going
to edit this in post, guys. You guys, this is actually not even my voice. I'm actually a four-year-old child. Pluto Nash. Box Office Mojo. This and I think the fact that the whole what's it called? He picked up a transvestite hooker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I
Eddie Murphy.
Heard that. Oh yeah.
And like got caught.
Mm-hmm.
And that also probably killed his career. And it also probably threw him to
I'm the worst.
It is Chris Rock.
I am officially the worst. I am officially my mom.
It was Chris Rock and what?
Osmosis Jones.
Oh yeah. I didn't know that either though.
Yeah, the older I get, the more I love Chris Rock.
Yeah.
I loved Bring the Pain.
I just recently watched one of his really early comedy specials and it was like, fuck yes. Now I understand why he's like I've never been like, what's up with that guy? Why is this so famous? But
it's
kind of
really
cemented
cool
in my mind why he's so funny.
You can go actually see him perform all the time for like $12. But yeah. He's like, guys, it's a 12-hour show. Or $12 show. So don't
like,
expect
whoa.
If you he's like, if you want to go see me be funny, parking's going to cost you $12.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I hear, that he goes and works at his material, but he puts no
effort into it.
It's
he's
just
kind of,
a joke.
He's just fucking like working on everything right off the bat.
I like, though, that he still goes out and like in public works on it. Mm-hmm. You know, that he's not like, I'm too famous. I'll just get like a control group of people to come in to something.
Yeah, that would suck. Oh, my goodness. What the fuck? I typed in the whole thing.
While you're looking that up, can I just say that I loved Head of State?
Which one was that?
It's with Chris Rock where he like runs for president.
Oh, because like his like twin or something?
No, I think he just like... I don't remember how he ends up getting roped into running for president, but I loved that movie when
it
came out.
I thought it reminded
me
a lot of what's it called? Trading Places?
Oh, okay.
With Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit. Just because it seemed like, you know, somebody.
I mean, it was better than Pootie Tang.
I love
But Pootie Tang. Tang is Pootie hilarious. Tang is
written and directed by our, like, Louis everybody's favorite. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I found that out, I was like, what? And then when I found out he was Mexican, I was like, what?
But, you know, Louis C.K. was really disappointed by the way Pootie Tang came out. I said, like, I fucking know him. You know, Louis the other day mentioned.
So, I mean,
it wasn't his best venture.
Dave Chappelle said the same thing about
Half Baked.
About Half Baked, But you can't even go to Box Office Mojo anymore. What the fuck? I guess somebody bought this place bought Box Office Mojo. Huh.
IMDb.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm gonna kind of look it up.
All right.
That was my shit. Box Office Mojo is my jam. Seriously, guys. I'm hurt.
Oh.
Not really. Anyway.
What were you looking up?
How much Pluto Menash made?
Oh my god! We completely forgot about that.
I really want to know how much it made. It's so important to me. Anyway, what else?
Like it was in a different podcast. What was that?
I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep going with this, guys. What was So did we guys bring in one thing that you guys want to talk about? An item. Wait, a noun? Is that what we said last time?
Yeah, a noun.
Yeah, a noun.
Be it proper or improper. All right,
you go first, Marlene.
I don't know why I'm so excited. I have no idea.
Nothing at all? Do you want me to go first?
No, I saw Gone Girl.
How is that? I've heard, like, very good things about it.
Yeah. I was into it. I was pretty into it.
What's the ending like? I'm sure.
What's the last line of the movie?
What's it called? Is that directed by David Fincher?
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I like that movie.
Good.
Oh, I like that guy. I haven't seen that movie. What do you think about Skeleton Twins?
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't it fucking hilariously depressing?
It was so funny. Oh, and I don't like watching previews of movies that I'm really psyched for.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'll find it. You can talk.
I forgot what I was going to say. You don't like watching? Yes, I don't like watching previews that I'm really psyched for because I don't want to know what it's about. Uh-huh. So yeah, I'm glad I didn't because I totally not what I expected. And it's one of those movies, I know when something, I'm really, really, really going to like something, when I walk away going like, huh. And then like the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I fucking love that.
Yeah. I laughed my ass off.
I actually got teary-eyed. I did.
Yeah, I cry a lot during movies.
Really?
Yeah. 51st That's Dates.
Awesome. I'm super weepy with eyes. Yeah.
So does anytime anybody dies in a fucking Disney movie.
Have you seen Elephant Man?
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, that was disturbingly. The saddest movie I'll still say is Dancer in the Dark with Bjork.
I've never seen that.
Oh my God.
Wait, yes, I have.
And the ending is fucking so. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? He's like took all the saddest things and put them into a sandwich and then covered it with sad looking duct tape. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Yes, so Skeleton Twins, loved it. I definitely loved it. And I love Kristen Wiig so much.
Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig did so well.
Yeah,
when the movie started, I was actually a little bit turned off by the fact that I was like, oh shit, I had to watch like Bill Hader play a gay guy for like 2 hours. And you know, when you see him do Esteban on SNL,
mm-hmm.
you know, Stefan. I was like, Stefan, sorry.
Stefan.
When you see him do that, it's like, oh, Jesus, this is awful. Like, I've never liked that character just because he laughs so much.
You know, I love that.
You like that?
I do.
End up. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
Because I was listening to an interview with Bill Hader where he was specifically talking about. His like writing partner will.
John Mulaney.
Yeah. Will specifically like stand off stage with the cue card and like he won't always know what Stefan is going to endorse next or like what his thing is going to be. So it'll be a joke that he thinks that they tossed out and it comes back and he like that's generally what ends up making him laugh or that they try to make him laugh most of the time because it's like part of the character.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, anyway, I love Bill Hader.
Yeah, but, me too.
Kristen Wiig is also amazing. Oh. All right, guys, can you just stop real quick? Because I found it. The Adventures of Pluto Nash cost $100 million to make.
Holy what? Shit.
it made
$12 million.
No. Oh my gosh. That's worse than it making $12.
They lost $98 million.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's so awful.
That's so like that makes me sad about the world.
You know, like all that debt that you guys have?
Yeah.
Like such a minuscule part of that was like
one of the stars in the background.
It's like a sandwich in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Sorry. Anyway, but yeah, Eddie Murphy got really fucking bad. Anyway, so yeah, Skeleton Twins. I do. Do you? What?
Yeah.
What do you say? Did you say it already?
No, I haven't said it yet.
All right, you do it first. Okay. Oh no. Oh, you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay, shit. I forgot the guy's name. I'm gonna have to Google this. All right, you go first. Right? Okay. Hold on, right now. You guys talk while I Google. Talk to me about Googling. You guys like Googling?
I like it. The
sounds
Google.
Like
it sounds dirty.
Yeah, it really does.
Are you
I'll Google me?
I wanna Google the shit out of myself right now.
Just see what I find. Like, yeah.
Shit.
I like Lewis? Doing that's what she said jokes with things that aren't really gross. Yes. Because then you think about it and you're like, I might not guess. Anyways, you found what you were looking for.
This book by Michael Lewis. He did that baseball movie that's not about baseball, Moneyball.
Oh yeah.
I think this is the same guy. I might be wrong, which will make me more racist than you are. It's actually about stock trading. I'm not fucking into this at all, but this story is insane. So, like, the stock market crashed in 1984 or whatever, and afterward, the government put all these things into place that make it, like, kind of work routinely by a computer or more on the internet, and kind of ended that whole, like, idea when you think about the stock market and a bunch of idiots in suits throwing papers up in the air or something, or what, like throwing confetti.
I'm not sure if they understood that when they showed in movies.
It seems like they're maybe throwing or catching things, or maybe just are doing a weird dance,
a ritualistic throwing of paper
that ended
with really bad blazers,
and the internet took over. And then it all became about how fast is your internet access because you know, like. Somebody that has Roadrunner is going to beat somebody else. So then it got worse to the point where everybody has Roadrunner type kind of thing. And then this guy goes, how can we make it milliseconds faster? How can we make it so we're so much faster than everybody else, but just by like nothing, you know? So he built a wire from like Ohio to New York. A straight shot, like internet connection, because the straighter the line is, the internet connection line, and it has to go underground, the faster it is. And he built it as straight as he could and made it milliseconds bigger and made hundreds of billions of dollars.
Whoa. What's the movie called?
No, it's not a movie.
It's a book. Sorry.
It'll be a movie eventually. I don't know. But it's insane. It's so crazy because now, like, all these business analysts are like, it's out of control now. Like, people are buying things and selling them so quickly and using algorithms that, like, you don't even have like a system that's it's chaotic. It's not, there's no fucking organization to it at all. If you're going on etrader.com, you have no fucking idea what you're doing. You have no fucking idea what you're buying. Or how it's being used or what you're getting at all. It's bullshit. All of it. It's ridiculous. And only the top percent own everything because of it now. And that's also a reason why the divide in, you know, rich and poor has become so monumental again, because it's a wire that was made. So it's really cool. It's a really good book. Flash Boys by Michael Lewis. Yeah.
Okay. That was my Flash thing. Boys. Crazy.
Super crazy. It's one of those books where like you want to throw it against the wall and be like, what? Like every fucking 20 minutes.
What,
but
do
then
you
also
mean?
At the same time, you're like, these guys are brilliant. Mm-hmm. Evil. Brilliant. Anyway. Also, American Horror Story. I'm just going to throw that one in there because that fucking first episode was
did you see it? Oh,
I haven't seen it yet.
You guys want to see it after this?
Yes.
It's fucking creepy. Oh, it's so fucking creeptastic.
See, and I'm like terrified of clowns. And I've heard that this clown is like...
Wait. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to have fun, guys. All right. I don't know where we are right now.
Can I say my thing?
Yeah. I didn't fucking tell you that was there. No. You cannot say anything.
Done.
We're over. Done
nuts.
With.
No, so I've been learning how to make a lot of like traditional, like more traditional Mexican dishes. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, like, I'll share like pictures of it on my Facebook or like talk to different friends about it. And I was talking about it with my uncle, and he was saying he was basically just like, that doesn't happen super often anymore, where like the almost oral tradition aspect of like cooking in a kitchen with your grandma or with your mom or whoever, whatever family member, doesn't really exist as much anymore. So a lot of like traditional cultural things are just kind of being weeded out because there's just not as much use for it. So it's been really cool, like learning how to make things, and there's no recipes for anything. And I'm such a formulaic person that like, at first it was really difficult because I was like, well, grandma, how much do I put? And she's like, well, enough. Like, I don't know, taste it. If it tastes bad, you put too much. And so it's been really neat. Like, so for one of our sessions, I was just kind of putting my hand out and having her pour things like into the palm of my hand so I could like feel how much it needed to be. And that ended up working because like I ended up, that was like the first time that she had me made chile colorado. And she has all these like very little stipulations where she's like, well, some people will do it like this, but I don't like it because of this. And she's always very like, for example, she was saying some people don't strain their chile. You need to strain it because if not, then you'll get like the texture of the chili pods and then it like changes the dish. She was like, also, it's lazy. And I was like, oh, okay. That's really where you're going with this. But, so it's like, it's cool because it's not just like, well, that's how I do it, so do it that way.
So fucking weird.
That was like a commercial, man. I was like, oh, Corona.
This episode is endorsed by...
by Familiar. Anyway.
And so I like that she always has a reason for it. It's not like, well, that's just how you do it.
Yeah.
She like thinks about it. She's like, well... when I've had it other places and they don't do it this way, this is why I don't like it. Which at the end of the day, it ends up basically coming back to this is how I do it. So just do it that way. But she like tries to have a justification for it.
That's
what
we all
that.
Do with all our lives.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I like that she's so, I guess, like upfront about it. Like,
there's a really cool book by a teacher that I had at UTEP. Her name is Meredith Abadka. And I think that the book is called Women in the Kitchen, but that might be me being very misogynistic. But yeah, it's really cool. And it's a cultural study book. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, but it's about the idea of losing that aspect of like life and mm-hmm. like the fucking bro, the passing down of knowledge from generation to generation is going away. And when I lived in Korea, that was a big thing too. They were talking about kimchi and how nobody makes kimchi anymore.
Yeah,
and how
it's
like,
a lot of work.
Yeah, but the whole thing is now it's like Walmart.
You can buy it anywhere. And like with a lot of these like sauces that you would use, like chile colorado or mole, you can buy it.
Oh my God, I was going to ask you about that shit. I tried making mole. It tasted like baby shit. It was the worst. Have you learned how to make it?
I haven't, but my grandma's mentioned it. So when I learn how to make it, I'm totally down to show you.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, my cousin now works at a chocolate factory called Mass Brothers Chocolate.
Oh, I know that guy.
And they have a specific type of really dark chocolate that has chile in it. And I wanted to use that particular chocolate for mole.
I know that
wasted a $9 bar of chocolate. Oh, but man. So when you find out, that would be so badass.
Yeah,
I fucking hate mole.
What?
Yeah, I've never been a huge fan of it.
It's like
I
one
love
of my
mole.
Only foods that I've never liked at all.
I think
my sister loves it.
Like my grandma makes it and it's spicier. So I like that. But the ones that are too sweet, I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of sweet meat.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Don't want that sweet meat.
That sweet meat.
Give it to me salty and spicy.
Oh my God. Unless it's shitty Chinese-American Chinese food.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love that.
Yeah. Sugar eventually makes everything good. Yeah. But that middle ground, not down. Yeah, it's either bitter
Wilford
or too
Brimley
sweet.
Sweet. Or Jack LaLanne sweet. You know who Jack LaLanne is?
The name is super familiar.
The inventor of the jumping jack.
Oh.
I met him at Barnes & Noble when I was working there. And he like looked at me. I was like, yeah, we're in line for the coffee shop. And he's like, I just drink coffee black. He's like, I'll have a black coffee. And I'm like, I'll have this. And he's like, you eat sweets? He's like, I haven't had a sweet since 1973. And I was like, oh, my God.
Did he start doing jumping jacks in front of you?
How fucking old are you? He was like 96. This was right before he died. But, like, he was in better shape than, well, way better shape than I was because I was fat at that point. But, like, his arms, like, were huge and, like, he was
just
very,
from jumping jacks?
Very sharp.
That's a secret to life.
He has variations and variants.
Oh, okay.
That he puts on his jumping jacks.
It's not just the straight calisthenic.
No, it's not just a YMCA move for him. It's a way of life. Thank you very much.
You jump, Jack.
No. He used to have, like, he also created the first TV show workout thing.
Oh, wow.
It's in black and white. It's
is that the one that
it.
Like
kick out of it. It's fun.
Is that the one that like funny. House moms would do?
Yeah,
with like cans of peaches and stuff. Like,
yeah,
my grandma
probably.
Used to do that. Not the one that I cook with. My dad's mom used. He said that he would like come into the kitchen. She'd be lifting like cans of corn and stuff like
well,
for
he
her workouts.
He came out with like a juicing book in 2000 or 1999 or some shit like that. And he was promoting it. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
He's a fucking really old guy, too.
See, when you talk about him, I'm picturing that episode of Arrested Development with Martin Short.
Yeah.
Uncle Jack.
That
I'm
is
picturing
my
Uncle
favorite
Jack.
Episode.
Toss me.
Favorite. Where he starts throwing up. Oh, my God.
Shake me.
Oh, it's so good.
When he, like, initially breaks his legs and he, too much. And he just like buckles
that
oh,
episode
man.
And the episode where Tobias dresses up as a woman and then falls through the balcony onto the table.
Mrs. Featherbottom.
Yeah.
I saw David oh Cross
God, I love it.
On the Brooklyn Bridge.
What?
And I what? All I could say is, hey, I love everything that you do. And he just like looked at me and goes, thanks. And like but I mean I can understand I can totally understand why that would be annoying. Like how many 30 something year old guys probably say, hey David Cross, I love everything you do, when like it's just like I mean I'm sure it's horrible.
I was listening to an interview, a Nerdist podcast actually, with Zach Braff. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how in his like come up with his like rise to fame, he's met so many of his idols that it like ruined a lot of them for him, because he was like, man, that guy was a dick. I don't remember exactly who he was talking about right now, but
Zach Braff is the one that did Garden State, right?
Mm-hmm. All
right,
cool. And Scrubs. Yeah, but he's like, I think because of those interviews I always do my best to be as nice as possible, but you're never gonna catch, like, it's impossible not to catch someone on a bad day at some point.
And that's so, what I. That's exactly what I was thinking, because I thought, like, dude, if I ever saw Louis C.K. walking down the street,
I would just
not.
Leave him alone.
Yes, I would just savor the moment from a distance. Because
I tried doing that, but I had to be like, I love you. Because I was walking next to him, so I was like, holy shit. Like, if I don't say.
I just blew myself.
And I was just like, I like walked up. I was like, hey, man, I just wanted to say that I love everything you've ever done. But he was just like, that was awkward, is what I got from it. Like, you know, like, I'm just fucking walking down the fucking Brooklyn Bridge. I do this a lot. Leave me the fuck alone kind of thing, which is totally cool with me, because I fucking love Shut Up, You Fucking Baby. And it's kind of the dickish thing. The things about him that I love would make me want him to hate me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I could
so
see that.
Same thing with Bill Hicks. If he told me I was a maggot one, yeah, it's one of those, like, it's the last hero worship I got left, because rock stars are fucking pathetic to me at this point. Like, I've met enough rock stars to know that they're all useless pieces of shit that can't do much. Other than play music, you know, like, I'm just like, can you fucking work hard? No, probably not.
You did once, yeah. But then you gave up on that because yeah. You got famous.
But comedians, I think, are still my jam.
Yeah.
It seems like it's
they never have to stop working.
If you're still good, then I respect you a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying all musicians are pieces of shit.
They stink. Put down your instruments.
Whoa. I think I just came off as an asshole. I'm okay with that. Whatever. Yeah. I know a lot of musicians, but they also have day jobs. Anyway, are we wrapping this son of a bitch up?
Everybody good?
I think so. Yeah. I think we can put a bow on this.
Yeah.
Este arroz ya se coció.
Oh my.
Damn, that was sexy. Girl.
God damn. I always get that saying wrong, and I always say, estas empanadas se cocieron. And my grandma's like, that's not the same.
Me gustan los churros.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, grandma, let's make some empanadas.
Oh, I like that. I know Spanish. But I totally didn't even try. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Have a good one.
See ya.